Hello and welcome to the Leadership Connection. I'm your host, Doug Plucknett, and today I'm sitting down with reliability leader Tim Goschert. Tim and I go back several years. I think we started working together around 2003 when he was a customer of mine as the reliability leader for Cargill Incorporated. Then several years later, we worked together as colleagues at Allied Reliability. And in that time, we've developed a friendship, so I've known Tim for quite some time. And I would be remiss today if I didn't congratulate Tim for becoming a grandpa last week for the first time. That's quite a change in life, and I can say my grandchildren have really made life much better for my wife and I. So I'd like to welcome Tim today. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to you today. And yes, had my daughter had her first grandchild last week, a baby boy, healthy baby boy. So it's great news. Even during this time of the COVID virus. So it was great news.
Well, that's something we have in common because we had our latest a couple weeks ago, my son's wife had a baby girl. So, we had one during this COVID fiasco as well. So why don't we get started? If you could tell me a bit about your background, where you went to school, the companies you worked for, and the roles you had at those companies.
Okay, yeah. Well, I graduated from Penn State University as a chemical engineer way back when, over 40 years ago. I was fortunate. I took a job right out of college with a company called Cargill. Many people know Cargill, I suppose. They're a global food manufacturer and have, you know, thousands of operating sites, food facilities worldwide. I was very lucky. I got in their production management program. So the first 13 to so years with that, I was in operations management, where I was responsible for the operation 24/7 of food processing plants, areas of the plant, and then eventually a plant. After that, the last 20 years of my career, I spent 33 years with Cargill. Last 20 years of my career, I was in the maintenance reliability improvement effort, first in one of the largest business units, the corn wet milling business, and then the last 13 or so years in the global corporate effort. I retired from Cargill in 2012 and went to work for Allied Reliability, which is a reliability consultant. I worked 7 years there, and then most recently, about a year and a half ago, I retired from Allied and now basically work as a freelance consultant reliability with my own company. So that sort of wraps it up. Right now I do part-time reliability improvement strategy consulting, I would call it.
In your time at Cargill, when were you first recognized as a leader? So what were you where were you working, and what project were you working on, and what brought about that recognition as a leader?
Well, I think when I got the most recognition was when I was working at the Cargill corn milling plant in Dayton, Ohio. I had worked there about 11 years of my career, had various operations type of roles. In one of the operation roles, it was the largest department in the plant, and it was highly critical, and it was also I would call a mechanical nightmare. It wasn't designed correctly. It had lots of problems, and I was put in that position to try to straighten it out. And that was my first attempt diving into how to do maintenance better, how to design things better for reliability, and how to make things reliable. So I was able to tame that beast, and because of that, they put me in charge of the entire maintenance operation and the entire plant. And in doing so there, I became recognized in the corn wet milling business, and that led to me being selected for representatives of corporate teams and also the leader of maintenance reliability for the corn wet milling business in the United States. So I think that was the first.
Right, so So in your career, was there someone that you looked at that was as a mentor or who influenced your career? And what kind of things did you learn from that person if you had one?
Well, I think I was just fortunate that I was working in Cargill. And so there were so many good people that helped me over the years, first of all, learn and then help to support the effort. So, you know, I was very fortunate to work for them. They're a great company. They taught me a lot of things. I think I'd go back to maybe a little bit earlier than the Dayton, Ohio plant. I lived in Memphis early on in my career. There's a gentleman named Larry Watts. He was, I was a shift supervisor when I first got to Cargill right out of college, and I knew nothing about, I was an engineer, but they didn't teach me how to supervise people, how to manage processes, how to improve processes, and I knew very little about equipment that was in that. And Larry just helped, took an interest in me, was tough on me, but however taught me how to be a leader of people, how to manage processes and do that. So he was early on in my career a big influence. Later in my career, I worked for the chief technology officer of Cargill, a gentleman named Ron Christensen. He was the sponsor of the reliability improvement process in the corporate effort of Global Cargill. And, you know, he helped me tremendously. And well, he always had courage to stand up for what he believed in, no matter how hard the wind was blowing in the other direction. And he taught me that that is the way you have to, you know, can help people change and do that. So I think it was Larry Watts and Ron Christensen is who I would say.
You know, I've always said that, you know, in my career, I had some of those same types of people. And at the same time, what are some of the things that motivated you to become a leader?
Well, I don't think I was motivated to become a leader. I was motivated to improve systems, processes, you know, to help people get better results. And so I never really set out to be a leader. I think over time, however, my actions and my influence with others qualified me to be thought of as a leader in others people's eyes. So, you know, it's sort of humbling when you're told that, you know, you've really had a major influence on either a result or a project or somebody's life, you know. So it's I think that's the answer there. I never really never even wanted to be a leader. I just it sort of like fell into it, I think.
That's interesting. So as we talk about those things, and you mentioned your time in the plant in Dayton, but what might be some of the other accomplishments that you made that you're most proud of in your career?
Well, it was with Cargill, and in the early 90s, I got involved as a representative of the corn wet milling business in the corporate, what was called a maintenance improvement effort. Back then, it wasn't, I don't think Cargill knew anything about reliability, and they were basically caught up in the reactive maintenance syndrome. And I helped lead the culture change over a 15, 20 year period that took Cargill globally from a reactive failure-based maintenance and reliability process to a proactive reliability-based process. And I think when I left in 2012, Cargill was recognized by many as a company that understood reliability, that did very, very well and got excellent results. And because of that, had a very competitive business model and was very successful. So I think that, you know, leading and helping lead that culture change is the most rewarding thing, I think, in my career.
All right. So speaking of leaders, and you must have worked with several through the years, one of the things that companies struggle with is hiring or promoting leaders. In your opinion, what are some of the top two or three traits the companies should look for in terms of leaders, and why are those traits important?
I think the first one is vision. I think the leader has to have a vision for the future. And be able to articulate how the future looks and how we can change the future by changing behaviors. So I think being a visionary person and strategic thinking person is extremely important. Second thing is they have to have the ability to influence people. And most of that is by communication skills, but also by walking the talk and doing what you want the organization to do. So ability to influence people is second. And then third, probably the most important is that you have to have a track record of results. If you have track record of getting results in the roles that you have been in, the chances are you will get results in the roles that you need to do in the future. So third would be track record of getting results.
Yeah, experience really counts. I tell people that all the time, especially in the interview process. You know, you'll get people that say, you know, I've been here, I've done this. Give me good examples of things that you've improved, as you gave with the Dayton plant, being able to take a place that was emergency demand type of maintenance culture and then change it to something that's proactive. When you can see somebody's done that, it takes a certain amount of leadership to do that and accomplish it. And that's in reality what most companies are looking for, right, is leadership. Management is important. Obviously, you have to be organized. You have to have discipline. But that leadership element is a big, big deal. So, Tim, nearly every leader I've ever met talks about a training course or book that inspired them. Are there any courses or books that you could recommend to our listeners that were key takeaways from a course or book that you could talk about?
I think being a leader is you have to educate yourself and you have to read. And so way back when in the late 80s, I had a goal of reading a book a month. And that was typically on a technical or a business subject. And after you do that for years and years, you find that, first of all, you've opened the world in many different areas to things that you didn't know. I think the best book that I've ever read, and it's changed my life, I read in 1992. It was a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. It's a book of, I think it's one of the top self-improvement books in the world globally, but it is also a maintenance and reliability improvement book. So what I typically do when I give recommendations of what should they read first, this is on the top of the list, number one on the list, because it teaches you how to be proactive and how to understand, you know, the 7 habits are pretty clear. How to begin with the end in mind, do first things first, think win-win, and seek to understand before being understood, and then synergize. So I would say the best book that I've read is the 7 habits.
All right, thank you. So you always hear people talk about leadership in terms of it's either a natural skill or a learned skill. And there's kind of two schools there. If you were to have to pick one, which one would you pick and why?
I think it's a learned skill. I don't think I was born a leader. I didn't want to be a leader. Never thought of myself as a leader. But I by reading, by educating myself, by listening to others, by getting results, you become a leader.
All right, that's an interesting take. I might take the other side on that. We could have that discussion some other time. But someone told me that in our world, you can either be a leader or a manager. What are your thoughts regarding that statement?
I think they're two distinctly different skills, and I think you can be both, and I think it depends on the role that you're in at the time and the situation and what it calls for. And, a leader, I think, provides vision, mission, and the desire to change. A manager basically develops systems to understand on a daily, weekly basis how you're doing in that change. So I think it depends on the roles that you're in. And I think it could flip-flop. You could be in a role in one job where your job is to be the manager, and then the next job could be where you have to provide the leadership, the vision and mission to what needs to be done.
Very good. All right. So just like me, you've had a long career in business, right? 40 years or maybe even more. At this point in your career, what would you say is your greatest success?
Well, I was proud of the culture change that Cargill did from the year mid-90s to present. When it comes to reliability improvement and improving the way we maintain their assets. So that's certainly it. I think, I'm just happy that I had the ability to do what I enjoyed for the last 40 years of my career. And I think it's great to be semi-retired, help customers get to their vision and give advice and things and do, jobs like that. So it's just great to be in the position that I'm in right now.
Very good. As a friend, as somebody you worked with for 20 years, it didn't seem like I'd be in half of your career, but I guess I have been. I look back and I think about some of my first experiences with Cargill's. It was you guys kind of early on brought me in to do RCM, but then you said, hey, we want you to come to our reliability leadership courses that we're doing around the world and sit in on a couple of these. And I I'd be remiss if I didn't step back and say I was really impressed with those you guys were going all over the world to make sure that everybody got the same message, right? And I thought to myself, wow, this is a company that really gets it, and they've got a leader in you that, and I realized there were some other people along with that, but that is pushing that effort and making that effort go and telling people, you got to come to this course. We need leaders. We need people that want to be involved in change. And boy, it made a huge difference. So, at any rate, I'd like to thank you for your time today, Tim. Where can listeners find more on Tim Goschard, more about your company, more about you, places like LinkedIn? If you could let our listeners know, it'd be great.
Yeah, well, I can certainly be found on LinkedIn. I don't have a website. Like I said, I'm semi-retired, and I'm working about half the time. And doing things only what I want to do, and only working with people that are serious about changing their results and reliability. So I don't have a website, but you can certainly find me on LinkedIn, message me there. It was probably the easiest way to do it.
Very good. Tim, thanks for your time today. It's been good talking to you.
Yep. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
All right. All right. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our first episode of the Leadership Connection. We've got several more of these that are going to be scheduled over the coming weeks and months. I'm excited about it. We've got a good list of people that have committed to saying, hey, we want to sit down and have a talk. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for tuning into the first episode of Leadership Connection. Until next time, this has been Doug Plucknett. Have a great day.